In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Christ is ascended. He is ascended indeed. Hallelujah. Caught you there, didn't I? It seems odd, doesn't it? What's the deal with the ascension of Jesus? This is a huge and holy occasion in the life of Jesus. It is literally, in the scriptures, as big as Christmas and Easter. But we are on the fringes of Memorial Day and summertime, and we do not find people packing it in here today or on Thursday when ascension services took place around the area here. Christ is born at Christmas time. We get that. He comes as a baby. Christ is risen at Easter. Yes, hallelujah, we get that. He comes to us out of the tomb, risen from the dead. But Christ ascended doesn't seem so terribly important. Why bother? Why bother with Jesus leaving? After all, that's what it seems like he does, isn't it? Maybe that's it. All before Christmas, we were talking about Jesus coming and his return. At Easter, we talk about him coming out of the tomb and appearing to his disciples and to over 500 witnesses. And now at the ascension, it's as if Jesus says, "See ya, I'm leaving." But that's not the case. The disciples today got what the ascension was all about. After Jesus ascended, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They weren't standing there befuddled. They weren't standing there looking at each other saying, "Well, where is he now, or what do we do?" Notice that they had joy. And in the Greek, it's not just any kind of joy. It is mega joy. Big, great, mega joy. The kind of joy that we have at Christmas and Easter whenever we talk about God coming to us in real ways. So there must be something that the disciples are teaching us today to celebrate the ascension a little bit more. The confusion comes from the fact that while the ascension of Jesus seems like he is leaving, that's not the case. It's really another way by which God comes to us. A coming just like we find at Christmas and at Easter. And if we can think about the ascension in that sort of way, I don't think this will be so confusing to us. We too will know the great disciples' joy. We'll understand that this day is truly worth celebrating. In the reading of Acts, it says that when Jesus had said these things, they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. It's important to note there that Luke in Acts does not say that Jesus is now gone. He just simply says a cloud took them from their sight. They can't see him. He's out of their sight because of a cloud. But if you go back and you look at how God works through clouds, you'll notice something very important. The clouds in the scriptures are not just rain clouds, like the ones that we've been seeing looming around us these past couple of days, but unfortunately not giving us much. The clouds that we see in the scriptures are what I like to call the presence of God clouds. Whenever there are clouds, God is present. A cloud would lead the people of Israel through the wilderness. A cloud would fill the tabernacle when God would come to speak with Moses. A cloud descends on Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration when the voice of God speaks. And now a cloud hides the risen and ascended Lord from the sight of his disciples. Is this a coincidence? No! Don't ever think that way. Rather, Jesus is ascending into the presence of God to the right hand of the Father. Now, there's a whole other statement. Where is the right hand of the Father? Well, to be sure, the right hand of the Father is not a place. It's not like saying that Jesus went to Kentucky or that Jesus went to India. Jesus is not in the sky in a throne saying, "Hey, how y'all doing? I'm way up here, sitting at the right hand of my Father." The right hand of the Father is not a place, but it is power and authority given to Jesus. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father to do his power, to do his work throughout all the world. He is true God and true man, but now he comes to you, his people, in all times and in all places. He comes with his forgiveness, with his cross, with his resurrection, with his salvation for you. Whenever it is read from the scriptures, like we've read it today, whenever one is brought to the waters of baptism, whenever one is gathered around the altar of God with his sacrament, this is where God has promised to be with his people. Some would say today in Christianity, well, he can't possibly be in these things because he's ascended. He's left us. But that is not the case. God can do whatever it is that he wishes and what he desires for his people. And to say that he has somehow left us or that he cannot be visibly and really present with us here and now today would cheat us out of his real presence, just like the people of the Old Testament and the New Testament had the real presence of Jesus in their midst. No, here and now, he has said to his disciples, "Go and preach to all the world, proclaiming the cross and resurrection of me, the forgiveness of sins to all the ends of the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes," he says. So though we may not see ascended Jesus in the flesh here today, he has promised to be where he is at, in his word and in his gifts to you. Now that may be a little confusing because we like to think of God as being omnipotent and omnipresent, present everywhere, all-knowing. So why do we need to have him come to us today? It's because that's the way he has always worked with his people. Last week we heard, "You do not choose me, but rather I have chosen you," he said to his disciples. And it's the same work for God today with us. He doesn't tell us to meet him halfway. He doesn't tell us to make a decision for him. He does not tell us to try to give or do something to earn his presence. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. He comes to bind up the wounded and the brokenhearted. He comes to calm our fears. He comes to quiet us in his love with his presence. And so through hearing his word and gathering week in and week out around his table, Jesus now comes to you, yes, ascended, but yes, really present for you, so that you could hear him and touch him and drink deeply in the gifts of his forgiveness and salvation. That's also why that when Jesus ascends, he commissions his disciples to go do these things. He tells them to go do church, preach, teach, love one another, share in the sacraments, baptize. Out of their mouths and the hands, their faucets would flow of God's love to his people. It happened all throughout the Middle East. It would go into Africa. It would go into Europe, Australia, yes, even here, in every place, in every time, fulfilling his promises that he would be with us always to the very end of the age. If you think about it for a moment, his whole ascension is very much like water. We need water right now. Things are a little parched. The water police seem to be in the news. I don't think there's really such a thing yet, but I'm waiting for that. But if you think about it, water is everywhere all around us. It's in the sky, it's in the clouds, it's even underground. But all of this water does us no good if it doesn't come to us. Looking at all of these rain clouds around us are nice, but if they don't bring forth water to us, if we're not able to get the water out of the ground, then it does us no good. We can't drink it, can't water our plants. To be of benefit, water has to come to us in a place and in a way which we can get it, whether a well or a faucet. Then we can drink, then we can wash, then we can have life. And if we don't have this water, then we die. It's the same thing with Jesus' ascension. He does not go to just simply leave us to fend on our own. But in the same way, he doesn't go just to say, I'm everywhere. He comes to us in specific ways, through his word, through his baptism, through his supper, constantly giving himself to you, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is as well what is key today, that he comes with his Holy Spirit. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus comes to us today, as if his gifts were not enough, he gives us as well his Holy Spirit to be with us always. But this is not two separate comings or two separate givings. They are one and the same. The Holy Spirit is given to point us to Jesus. No Holy Spirit, no Jesus. No Jesus, no Holy Spirit. It's not as if we can receive Jesus apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, so that is why he goes as well, to give us his Spirit, to give us himself fully and wholly, all of himself for us. His Christmas birth, his life, his ministry to the sick, to the brokenhearted, his words of eternal life, his cross, his death, his resurrection at Easter, all given and proclaimed to you personally, each and every time here. And now his ascension, all so that you may be reminded that you are his own. And so that whether we live or whether we die, we know that he is coming again with glory. And so today is really a day of mega joy. For this too is a day of Jesus' coming, which I think Luke wants to celebrate in his own unique way. For in describing Jesus' ascension today, he writes that Jesus led his disciples as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And as he ascends, he still has his hands up. Luke never says that he puts his hands down. He never finishes blessing. His hands are extended the whole time. And to be sure, they are still extended for you and for me today. For now, ascended Jesus is still extending his hands and his blessing, still giving, still washing, still feeding, still forgiving you. And he is not going to stop. No one and nothing and the world can stop him from doing that. He isn't done with his work with us and with this world. And so for you he ascends, so that for you he may come even now. He comes meeting you where you are at, with your sins, with your shame, with your guilt, with your fears, with your tears, with your sorrows. He comes to give you strength, knowing that he stands as our own high priest, as the one who has come conquering sin, death, and the devil for you and for me. He comes to strengthen you when you are weak. He comes to strengthen your faith when you are full of fear. He He comes to promise life even in the midst of facing death. No matter who you are or where you are, even now he comes fully with his grace. Luther says that when Jesus ascends, he is now more present than he ever has been in the history of the entire world. And all of that is for you. Imagine that. All of it is focused on you today. All so that you may be reminded that he is yours and you are his, and that this Jesus whom we saw ascended will come again on the last day in glory to bring you home with him. So do not be confused, do not be deceived. Just as the angels brought the good news of Jesus' birth, just as the angels were sitting in the empty tomb announcing that Christ is risen, the angels as well tell us the joyous news of Christ's ascension. He has gone away behind a cloud from our sight, but he is still fully present for you and with you. So rejoice with the disciples. Have great mega joy today. Go celebrate with some brunch. Pop a bottle of something. Today is Ascension Day. And know that with great joy, you too will ascend on high with him on the last day. Alleluia! Christ has ascended. He has ascended indeed. Alleluia! And so shall you. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe.